I had another message planned this morning, but I thought it would be great. I started just reflecting on mothers particularly, and the kind of mothers, and I won't be speaking on this morning, but the kind of influence that great leaders in the Bible particularly had because of their mothers. And there's a lot actually said about mothers. Eve, the very mother of mankind, her name actually means mother of all mankind. And what a job she must have had. What a responsibility that fell. Moses had a mother who disobeyed the king, the Pharaoh, the God-like man on earth, his orders to throw babies in the Nile River and drown them. And she disobeyed. And God did incredible things through Moses. When you look at the mother of Jesus, Jesus had a mother. And three times we're told in the scriptures that things that happened in the life of Jesus, she pondered them in her heart. The reflections of a mother. What a statement about her life and impact on Jesus. She was with him to the end. Tradition has her surviving the whole crucifixion experience and seeing the resurrected Son of God and eventually moving to the area of Turkey in Ephesus. And some family had visited there some years ago, and John the Apostle at the cross was given charge of her in Jesus making provisions for his mother. Even though he was dying for the sins of the world, he thought of his mom. And John cared for her as long as he could. Eventually, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. We get the book of Revelation from him there as he's exiled. And Mary lived out her days. James Dobson tells a story of a mother who was sick in bed. She had the flu. Her little daughter wanted to be good to her and thought she would nursemaid her mother, and came to her and brought her an extra pillow and brought her a magazine to read, and then eventually showed up with a surprise cup of tea. Mother took a sip of the tea and she said, "Wow, I didn't know you knew how to make tea." Little girl said, "Oh yes, I learned by watching you. I put some water in a pot, then I put the tea leaves in, and then I boiled the water. And then I strained it into a cup. But I couldn't find the strainer, so I used a fly swatter." Her mother said, "You what?" The girl said, "Oh, don't worry, Mom. I didn't use the new fly swatter. I used the old one." Kids, you gotta love them. If you're a mother, no doubt you have stories just as colorful as that one. Being a mom is not easy, and as I heard one mother say, there are so many theories of raising children. They didn't come with instructions. I have three children and no theories. You got to wonder, as you think about kids and growing up, as soon as you figure out one stage, they're off to the next. In the end, as the Bible says in Psalm 127:1, they rise up and they call her mother blessed. And that is true. This morning, what I'd like to do is talk just a little bit. You see projected there one of the verses that come right out of the Ten Commandments. It speaks of honoring your father and mother. It's actually repeated in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. What's interesting about this particular verse that it says it's the first commandment with a promise. Anybody know what the promise is? Say again. that your days may be long upon the earth. That's exactly right. Think about that. Interesting that God had mothers in mind when he chiseled out a rule of law for his people. And certainly to remember a mother is, honoring your mother is part of a bigger picture. God had mothers in mind. The history of Mother's Day in America is kind of interesting. 1907, Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia, of all places, started a campaign to honor mothers. And 2 years after her own mother had died, this crusade began. In 1910, just 3 years later, West Virginia became the first state to recognize Mother's Day. And a year later, nearly every state in the Union marked Mother's Day as Mother's Day. Why we needed a day of reminding. More phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. I was in ShopRite a couple days ago, and I was getting some groceries, and I looked down the card aisle. Now it's one big card aisle, and there's every occasion you can possibly imagine, and it's probably made for men, because men were in the aisle. In fact, big strapping men. Rough looking men. And there's big signs. Wife. Son. Daughter. We need big signs. All to remember mothers. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day as the national holiday, being the second Sunday in May. Never to be missed. Interesting that the lady who started it, Anna Jarvis, soon became disappointed. In fact, so bitterly disappointed that the day that she had set aside for mothers became so commercialized, she started crusading against it. She actually filed a lawsuit to stop Mother's Day in 1923. She was even arrested for disturbing the peace. Her complaint, I wanted the day of sediment not to be a day of profit. Interesting. Mothers, however, are happy to receive flowers, cards, gifts. Certainly they deserve any act or token of recognition to which I often needed reminding. Scriptures, however, talk about the idea of motherhood and mothering, and I think it would be appropriate for us to give them the honor that they are due. What kind of things do mothers deserve? I'm going to list six of them. First, I think, just our obedience. For every child who hears their mother say, clean your room, eat your peas, do your homework, take a bath. Please take a bath. They need to be listened to. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 actually repeat the command in the Old Testament book of Exodus by saying, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise. Is that a blanket obedience? Does it occur in every instance? You know, when I think of the kind of things that mothers sometimes say, we can't possibly keep up and be perfectly obedient all the time. But we have to have some level, I think, of respect. Children, the Bible says, obey your parents in everything. And then it adds this, for this pleases the Lord. Colossians 3:20. Solomon, the wisest man known in the scriptures, says, do not forsake the law of your mother in Proverbs 1:8. It's the hallmark of capstone of obedience found in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. Even Jesus obeyed his mother in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, where it says of a young 12-year-old, he goes along with thousands of others, maybe millions, I don't know, thousands upon thousands of people descending on Jerusalem three times a year. He gets lost in the crowd, and they go back to find him. There he is in the temple speaking with lawyers, religious professionals. And it says, upon rebuke, that he returned home with his parents and was obedient. I'd like to say that I was perfectly obedient to my mother growing up. I was not. I was one of five children, a twin at the end. Probably pushed my mother over the edge. If she could hear me now, I'd say, Mom, I'm sorry. I hear her voice echo. The older I get, the more I realize the things that I appreciated about my mom, and I tend to forget the things that perhaps weren't so pleasant. The love that a mother transfers to a child for different things, for the arts, for music, for language, for living life. She loved antiques, and down in the basement of our house, there was this old Victrola crank, very thick record player. I would like to say that I was sympathetic and appreciative of that thing, but it became a prop for our trains as little kids. When she discovered, she was horrified. The second thing I think we could appreciate about mothers is that something we can give them, and that giving them what they deserve would be respect. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first command with promise. If we need an incentive, that it may be well with us. So much is said of respect these days. Solomon warned of grave consequences to those who curse their parents. Proverbs 20, verse 20. One curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. Respect. There's a Chinese proverb that says, respect for one's parents is the highest duty of civil life. I think it's just common decency. You, like me, probably have been out in public where disrespect is being shown toward a parent, for a mother particularly. Kids are dragged through department stores, and these things certainly should not be. Do we give our mothers the respect they deserve? If there's a third, it would be affection. The scriptures, Elisha, one of the prophets of the Old Testament, demonstrated the affection properly due parents in 1 Kings 19, verse 20. To greet them at the door, to call them. Let them know how you are, because every parent remembers. Children might get out and so busy with life that they forget to call their parents. Such affection can be given words like, Mom, I love you. Mom, thank you. When my children went off to college, something magical happened. A magic wand must have passed over their heads. We heard, thank you. Oh, Mom, I appreciate it. After having to do their own laundry, to get themselves back and forth to the responsibilities that they had. We can take it for granted that the kind of work that parents do, mothers particularly, shuttling them back and forth to soccer practice, making sure their homework gets done, making sure that before they go out on a date, they look appropriate, if you know what I mean. Fourth, wisdom. Oh, how we have wise mothers. You know, when you've got children, you become more aware. Part of that is reflecting on our own life and growing up and giving a little perspective, a little depth to the kind of things that we experienced now influencing our children. Proverbs 10 verse 1 says, a foolish son is a grief to the mother, to see a child make foolish choices. Decisions that we know will harm themselves or somebody else. Driving too fast, being out too late, spending frivolously on things that don't matter. The Bible says of Jesus even increased in wisdom as he grew from childhood to adulthood. If the Son of God needed to grow in wisdom, should not our children? Where do they get that? Mom? Do they stop and say, thank you, I was so unaware. Thank you for shining a light on that. Mom, thank you. Did they tuck away every dollar that they earned? No. Does it mean that they made all the wise choices when it came to who they spend time with? And maybe not. But they have a fence, and the fence is a mom and a dad, but a mom who has their best interests in mind. Much wisdom can be gleaned from not only our own mothers, but the mothers that God places around us, and the benefit of a small church that we mother and father others. They get to hear from others. In close proximity, the wisdom that only age and experience can give. If there's a fifth, it would be a righteousness. The knowledge between right and wrong. What is a righteousness? Moms tend to have the ability to clearly discern right and wrong. If by no other reason, by trial and error, their years and years of experience, what they see in the course of their life, what they've seen their own siblings go through, a righteousness. Those that are particularly grounded in the scriptures discern the right and wrongs of life. Hence the obeying and respecting. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 24 and 25 says that righteousness brings joy and gladness to a parent. Isn't that true? The Apostle John at the end of his life said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. Maybe you can hear your mother or father, your mother say something particular, addressing some issue in your life, and you know that echoes. They might not even be here anymore, and you can hear them say. More than any other achievement, a righteous character gleaned from the influence of a mother is greatly to be praised and prized. Nothing makes a mother prouder than to have a good, that is, righteous son or daughter. Today, sadly, I think true righteousness seems to be fading. As in the Old Testament days of Judges, every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, and follow your heart. Well, that sounds good. Truth be told, some of what's in our heart, we would never want broadcast. Righteousness. Romans 3, 21 and 22 says, there's a righteousness that's to be pursued. No man is righteous to begin with. He becomes righteous. First in the righteousness in Jesus Christ when we come to know him as Savior, but then to learn righteousness based on what God is saying. Do we give the mothers credit for the righteousness they've imparted to us. They deserve that. If there's a last one, it would be that of care. Mothers deserve care. I think part of understanding this as we get older, realizing that it's the children's responsibility to care for the needs of their aging parents. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 4, 8, and 16 directs that particular charge at widows that are what are called indeed widows, truly widows. No means of viable support. At least in the ancient Near East, that responsibility fell on the oldest and then right on down. It was understood. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion is this, that we care for the widows and orphans. In the late 90s, I worked at a nursing home. I was a social worker as I was pastoring a church. And I got to saw the dynamics of family life in ways I never had before. Families that were close and connected and deeply warmed relationally were visited often. But there were some people who never got a single visitor. And when I'd visit them, they were profoundly quiet. And I would sit in their rooms and talk with them about life and where they had been and what they did with themselves and their family and the kind of things that occurred. And strangely, stories would come out of an incident, an unguarded statement, an angst that may have started decades earlier. Saddened my heart because what that resulted years and years later was estrangement and distance and loneliness that's hard to describe on a Sunday morning. One of the great privileges I had in working there was to see families reconcile, and sometimes sicknesses do that. Conversation is had and fences are mended and people start talking, brothers, siblings, in their 80s and 90s, talk after not talking for many, many years. There's an encouragement and a charge to anyone here that has that kind of experience going on in their family. And every family has something, doesn't it? Maybe today is the day you pick up the phone or you send an email, and if they're under 30, then you can text them or tweet them. Is it a tweet? What is it? It's a tweet? Would I be saying I'm too old to understand what a hashtag is? I had my daughter yesterday try to explain a hashtag to me. I haven't sent one yet. Everybody under 30, would you please stick around in the back of the church for a group instruction? You know, it's the one thing. Care is the one thing that we could give anybody around us. It doesn't take much effort to say please and thank you, and you look nice today. We are such a distracted generation. For our young people, you are growing up in a way that we as adults have not. And I'm concerned for you because it's called something now. It's the new culture of shame. It's describing the kind of things that go on in people's mind that don't have people who really face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, care about you. Self-esteem is gleaned by how many people you're friended by. How many people respond to something you post. And that creates an environment that could be very detrimental. It could be very helpful. But when nobody responds to one of the greatest cries for help, it could be detrimental. Your mom, your grandmom, your great-grandmom, a mother of somebody close to you, can be all that could heal that wound. Mothers. In some sense, children are to be the social security for their parents, for their mom. They deserve the best that we can afford them, even if in some people's mind they don't deserve it. Not all moms are the best moms. They still deserve it. It's interesting that Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, don't give qualifiers. It makes a statement. And it leaves the charge at our feet as if to say, what are you going to do with this now? Because we can't go back to a time where it says that we shouldn't or we don't need to or regardless of what society says. My life is actually a testament to God's ability to heal a family. From the time I was little, as the last of five kids, my mother struggled with an addiction. And I resented her terribly for that. And by the time I was a teenager, I didn't want anything to do with her. When I left home, I said, I'll never go back. And for 3 years, I didn't. I traveled the country, enjoyed myself, trying to forget some of the things I experienced, the disappointments, the hurts. And then the Lord Jesus came into my life, some teenagers, some friends of mine, shared the gospel. And I was gloriously saved. And one of the first things that God did in my life was to raise the angst that I had had and held, the bitterness, the resentment that I had towards my mother. And only by God's grace was I able to pick up the phone. My mother lived just a half a block away from where I grew up, and I hadn't seen her for 3 years. I called her up, and she almost dropped the phone. I said, Mom, I want to come talk to you. I went down to Hamilton Hall, a high-rise for senior citizens, and I said, Mom, you're not going to believe what happened to me. She sat and listened, didn't say a word. Didn't know what to say. I did all the talking because God had done all the work. And from that day forward until the day she died, we had a relationship that I can't say it was the greatest. We didn't sit over tea strained by a fly swatter. But I had the privilege of all five of the kids to take my mom through the remainder of her life. I honored her, not because anybody told me to, but because the Lord was laying it on my heart. Mother's Day is one of the greatest opportunities for us. It's a reminder to say thank you to the moms that we had, and maybe for at least one person here, the challenge to pick up the phone and restore that which may have been broken. Some relationships require professional and medical help. Whatever it takes, honor your father and your mother. Father, we come to you now thanking you, Lord, for the mothers that we had, and good, bad, or indifferent for some. We can't change who our mothers were. We can change us. What a joy to reflect on the kind of things that they instilled, Lord, the wisdom, the righteousness, and now the care that they possibly need. I thank you, Lord, for that, and pray that for that one that's here. Lord, it's only by your grace you tell us that we're not consumed. Our own hurts and bitternesses can eat our lunch. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts as we go on this Mother's Day, a beautiful day that you've given to us, celebrating the life and the mothers that you've given to us. Encourage our hearts. Thank you, moms, grandmoms, great-grandmoms, for all that you do for your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.